Welcome to A Couple Cooks, a show celebrating the joy of home cooking. I'm Sonia Overheiser.
And I'm Alex.
And we're a husband and wife who love to cook.
Join us each week for stories, seasonal recipes, and inspiration for cooking at home and eating well.
For more, you can find us on our blog, acouplecooks.com.
Welcome to the A Couple Cooks mailbag. We're taking time each month to answer a few listener questions.
We thought we'd do a special segment monthly just so we could check back in with you, answer a few questions outside of our normal episodes.
I don't know how normal they are.
Our very unique episodes.
Follow up on the pizza episode, by the way. I followed a few of Caleb's tips from the pizza episode, and we made the best pizza dough of our lives the other day, so I highly recommend you go back and listen to that and try it out.
It was amazing. It was crispy on the outside, but soft on the inside. The crumb was beautiful. I took a little Instagram photo of it, so if you saw it over there or you want to check it out, you can go see our Instagram feed.
So I've become a bit obsessed with my pizza now. I want to make pizza and bread every day, so high carbs. Gluten is my friend.
So, should we get to the questions?
Let's go.
Our first question is from Lauren S. She is a reader and listener, and she says, I hate vegetables. What is one vegetable I should learn to love, and how is it prepared? Well, we're sorry to hear that, Lauren.
But don't worry, there's hope.
I was actually very, very picky for a long time. Into my early 20s.
It's true.
And there were a lot of vegetables that I did not like at all. So have hope.
You can learn to love them. I'm going to start with my answer, which is one of my favorite foods and one that requires no preparation. It is the humble stalk of celery.
Oh my goodness.
I know. You give me crap every time I bring this up, but I think celery is just fantastic. So go to your fridge, especially celery hearts, take off the outer few stalks and get to that good part on the inside and wash it off, leave the leaves on, and just eat that with a little bit of salt. You have this crispy, crunchy, delicious food. And then you have the leaves have this sweet yet bitter taste. You throw it on some salad and it actually adds a ton of flavor. I think just because it's so normal, we forget how it's actually quite a fascinating vegetable.
Okay, fine. I'll give it to you. So, Lauren, I have many vegetables in mind for you to love.
There's a surprise.
I'm trying to decide in my mind which one I should recommend for you. I'll maybe answer a couple. But celery is great. The only thing about celery is it's not very filling as a vegetable.
But it's a great snack.
It's true. So I'm going to, first of all, recommend the sweet potato for you. It is delicious. It's filling. It's sweet, but it's best when prepared with some savory elements. So we love to roast sweet potatoes. We love to bake sweet potatoes. Actually, one of our first meals that we ever tried together when we cooked together was a baked sweet potato topped with salsa and black beans. And that's one of my favorite meals even today.
And I really think it's a gateway vegetable because people think they don't like sweet potatoes with all that sugar. And then they have a baked one, some salsa, some beans, and they fall in love.
We're getting a little teary over there.
Yeah. Sweet potatoes.
So that's a great one. I'm going to say one more because I can't answer just one thing. I'm going to say spinach or kale. But just greens in general. Something we do all the time is we have greens in the fridge and we just add them to whatever we're making. So if we're making a soup, we'll throw in greens at the end of the cooking time. And especially with a soup, the flavor becomes a lot more mellow. So it's easy to like spinach when it's just kind of melted into a soup. We also do that in pasta all the time. And it makes it easy to learn to love them, and it's a great way to add nutrients to your meal.
And don't forget about celery.
Right. All right, next question.
Yeah.
This is from Mrs. Hunley on Instagram. She asks, what is your go-to appetizer to bring along to a gathering?
I think probably one of our current favorites and long-term favorites, really, is this tomato almond dip that we make. It's basically like a thick version of a Spanish romesco sauce that has fire-roasted tomatoes and almonds, and you just blend them together to make a dip, and people are very excited about it.
Every time we serve it for people, they fall in love, and they eat like the entire bowl that we put out.
They ask for a spoon, basically. Yeah.
If you know us, you'll know the infamous tomato dip. So I will put a link to that dip in our show notes. That was actually my answer as well.
Whoa.
So, hey, we matched. Does that mean we should be married?
Yes.
Okay.
Next one's from Corey in Louisiana.
Hi, Corey.
Longtime listener, first-time questioner.
His question says, I know you don't use a lot of butter in your recipes, but can you explain the difference between salted and unsalted butter? I never know which one to buy or which to use. How does it matter and which is the default butter?
Well, we do use butter a fair amount, just not a ton of it. And it's really great, actually, like if you're sauteing vegetables, if you'd normally do it in olive oil. If you cook them in butter, it just adds like a much more rich flavor. So even just a little bit of olive oil and a little bit of butter is one of my favorite sauteing methods. But back to your question, the difference between salted and unsalted butter is that salted butter has been salted. And
interesting.
What that means is it's great for, like I said, if you're sauteing vegetables, if you're eating it on bread and butter, if you're using it for maybe roasting some vegetables, that sort of thing. If you're cooking with it and going to eat it right away, use the salted butter. However, if you're baking, you want to use unsalted because you just want the rich dairy flavor from the butter, the fatty goodness, and then you add the salt yourself to make sure you control the amount of salt in that baked dish, like cookies or a cake.
Wow, you articulated that very well.
Well, thank you. I just made that up, so hopefully it's true.
I think it is. Great question. All right, next one is from Rotkaj.
Not
quite sure how to say Instagram usernames. And the question is, what is the single kitchen or cooking tool you can't live without? I can actually pick just one answer for this one. Are you proud of me?
I am. This is a first, everyone.
It is my knife, my cooking knife, my chef's knife. We both feel that a quality knife is probably the best thing that you can have in your kitchen. It is worth the extra couple dollars to buy a really quality knife. We love ours. Every time I cut with it, I feel like I'm slicing through butter. I love it.
Is that salted or unsalted?
Salted, yeah. But it makes the cooking prep go so much faster to have a good quality knife.
So let's dig into that a bit more, because you and I each have a different favorite knife. You use a 6-inch chef's knife and I prefer the 8-inch, but I think it's important to find a knife that fits your hand. There's not a single best type of knife to buy, but any one that I would say is in the $60 to $150 range for a good chef's knife is probably going to be a good one. And if you go into a cooking store like Williams Sonoma or Sur La Table, they'll actually let you take one off the shelf and play with it. I know Sur La Table actually has vegetables there that you can chop up and practice with.
And that's what we did when we bought our knives. We had a lot of fun with carrots.
And then our other big knife tip is that you just should get them professionally sharpened. If possible, some of the knife manufacturers, you can send them in. There's a few places around Indianapolis that offer sharpening, some of the farmers markets and Goose the Market if you live here. They offer knife sharpening and it's just a couple bucks per knife. We do that once or twice a year.
All right, last question.
From Lan Bananas.
Lan Bananas? I'm not sure how to say that, but it's an Instagram username. And she asks, how do you think cooking together impacts your marriage? Well, we've been doing cooking together for so long now that it's kind of just intertwined into our marriage history.
I think not cooking together would have a bigger impact on our marriage than cooking together at this point.
I think it has transformed our marriage, honestly. I think it's helped us to be able to work together as a team well. We're together quite often, and we have a lot of different endeavors that we're working on together. And I think that cooking has helped us to be able to learn how to function as a healthy team, to find each other's strengths and work with those, to constructively have disagreements and work through those. What do you think?
I agree with all that. I would also say it's been a great hobby for us, just something fun that we could tackle together. When we first got married, we didn't have a ton of mutual interests. I was maybe more interested in the sports, and I don't know. I mean, it's not like we didn't have any hobbies together, but it's been a great hobby, just something to tackle together, try new recipes, try new methods.
I'm still sad that you never wanted to do my hobby of salsa dancing, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, once I find that sense of rhythm, we'll jump right in.
Yeah, it's been a wonderful way to spend time together. We're both very curious, and so it's been fun to just attack certain things together of how do we learn how to make pizza? How do we learn how to make an easy weeknight meal? It's been an absolute blast cooking with you.
I'd agree.
Well, that's all the questions we have from you. We have one more for you. We were wondering, what are you doing for Valentine's Day? Are you guys, do you like to go out and have a night on the town? Go out to dinner? Get drinks? Or do you like to stay in and cook together?
Let us know. As always, you can find us on Instagram or Twitter at A Couple Cooks, or you can email us acouplecooks@gmail.com.
And I guess I could answer that for us. We generally stay in because we love cooking together, spending time together. Also, my birthday is just before Valentine's Day, so usually we go out for that instead.
Except and this year we'll be making pizza because I gotta make pizza as much as possible.
But this year we have some fun recipes coming up on A Couple Cooks. I posted one today. It's a beet hummus, and it is vibrantly pink. It's so beautiful. If we had children, I would make it for them because it's so fun.
And Lauren, if you are trying out beets for the first time, this would be a great place to start because beets are strong, but it's a delicious, lightly beet-flavored hummus.
Good point. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. That's all we have for today.
In the honor of romance, we have to go watch Making a Murderer. We're almost done.
Have you guys watched that? Oh, we're kind of obsessed with it right now. So let us know that too. What are you watching? Talk to you later. We'll see you in our next episode.